This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Even if you don't use that old Yahoo account anymore, you better check the password. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A follow-up this morning on what is, by some measures, the biggest theft of private data from a single company. Yahoo's revelation that back in 2014, somebody stole information on 500 million accounts, name, phone, email, dates of birth, but probably not, Yahoo says, bank accounts or payment cards. Yahoo's statement, repeated across the media this morning, had one confusing element. The stolen information, quote, did not include unprotected passwords. This apparently has to do with passwords that were electronic. Ironically jumbled in what should have been an added security measure. Hashed is the term. Troy Hunt is a cybersecurity expert and Microsoft regional director.
I think what they're trying to say is that it did include protected passwords. There were password hashes that were disclosed. And the risk to us now is that it is possible that some of those password hashes could be cracked. Normally when people have chosen bad passwords, so yes, that data is out there, and yes, some of it can be broken. And it really comes down to the individual password practices that we use.
And bad passwords being ones that you could obviously guess.
This is really where the rub is in all this, because the reality of it is that most people choose bad passwords, and the passwords are bad insofar as they are either reused across systems, so people create one password and then they use it in multiple places, or they're relatively easily guessable.
Apparently, the stolen data also may have included encrypted and unencrypted security questions and answers. Your problem is, right, what's the name of your first pet is a typical security question.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, Yahoo are now saying that after you log on, you probably should remove those security questions. And we've sort of gone through this bit of a change of, as an industry, where we've said, hey, maybe this isn't such a good idea. It kind of becomes a little bit useless.
Troy Hunt is Microsoft Regional Director and a security researcher. Troy, thank you for this.
My pleasure.
Just change the name of your first pet, right? As for the state-sponsored bit, Hunt says it's likely some government somewhere wanted the Yahoo accounts to spy on its own citizens. The National Museum of African American History and Culture opens tomorrow in D.C., a collection of 40,000 items. It's said to be a celebratory and somber look at the history of African American people. It's expected to draw huge crowds for years to come. This could have a multiplier effect, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
There's a pretty straightforward way to analyze a museum's economic impact. Analysts check out what people spend getting to the museum, how much money they drop there, and the National Museum of African American History and Culture might increase the appeal of Washington for African American tourists.
This is an untapped market to a great extent.
That's John Gerner of Leisure Business Advisors. He analyzes tourist attractions like museums.
And this museum could bring in quite a few new visitors to Washington.
People who actually plan their visits around this new museum, like Ashara Akundayo. She flew into Washington yesterday from Oakland, California, where she owns an art gallery. So far, she spent more than $1,000.
I bought an airline ticket. I got in a taxi to come to the hotel.
And she'll be spending more.
And I'm realizing that I didn't bring the right shoes, so how great is that? I get to go find some shoes in Washington, D.C.
Akundayo says she flies to Washington a lot on business. Now she'll come here on vacation. Her kids want to go to the museum in Washington. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
People in parts of the South were freaked last week when a gasoline pipeline was closed after a leak in Alabama. Some gas stations ran out after people rushed to fill up. The pipe is now fixed. Emily Siner reports from WPLN in Nashville on what happens when shortage meets panic.
If you drove past a gas station in Nashville last weekend, you probably saw bags over the pumps or else a really long line of cars. Not even minor celebrities were spared.
It was 0-6 on Saturday, 0-3 yesterday, and then I called about four stations this morning. This is the first one that had it.
That's Tennessee Titans punter Brett Kern finally filling up at an Exxon station on Monday. His car was almost on empty.
I told my wife to have her phone by her just in case I ran out of gas, and then to have our second car ready to go.
This whole hassle came after a leak was discovered September 9th in the Colonial Pipeline, which happens to be Tennessee's primary provider of gasoline. Mike Williams with the Tennessee Petroleum Council says the pipeline's closure meant some gas stations were short on fuel, but it was manageable. Until, abruptly, a full week later, people started noticing it. Reporters started reporting on it, and then the governor declared a state of emergency, which really just allowed fuel transporters to work longer hours. So Williams says,
the buying public starts getting nervous, and in this case, they got so nervous that they rushed out and bought every drop of gasoline there was.
In his mind, what caused the gas shortage?
I would say that probably 90% of this was caused just by panic buying.
I don't know that I totally agree with that statement.
Mary Holcomb is a professor of supply chain management at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. She says, yes, there was a huge spike in panicky demand, but a pipeline closure is also a very real disruption in supply.
As best I can tell from the numbers that were reported, we are only receiving about a third of the supply that we ordinarily would have.
She thinks Tennessee would have seen shortages no matter what. The panic just sped it up. The good news is the panic subsided and Colonial Pipeline has restarted, which means Nashville will be getting its full supply of gas in the next few days. In Nashville, I'm Emily Siner for Marketplace.
And did Facebook exaggerate its calculation of how long we watch videos online? Facebook chose not to count very short views, apparently, distorting the average time that advertisers were told about this. Facebook stock was down nearly 2% in early trading today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.